Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman. Co-hosting with me today is Scott Tanfield and John Cummins. This is another chat with the guys from Friends of Fulham, and we'll be talking about several topics in regards to Fulham Football Club. I look forward to getting their thoughts on several topics, but before we do anything, I have to welcome them back to the show. It's been a little bit. Mr. Tanfield, how are you doing?
I'm very well, Russ. You?
I'm doing great. I look forward to doing the show with you. We certainly have a good amount to talk about.
Yeah, interesting. I think it's been a little bit quiet on the transfer front, but I think we're getting a few rumours coming now with limited time till the start of the summer. Start of the season. You know, things have really got to start picking up, so plenty to talk about.
Absolutely. John, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing really well, Russ, really well.
Okay, very good there, my friend. I enjoyed having you on before, and I got great feedback from the last time you guys came on, so I'm glad we could do this again. Hopefully we can do this several times because you guys were great. All right, let's get into this. We do have some very interesting speculation that broke today, and Scott, I'm going to start with you. This has been going on for a few days now, but it really got hot and heavy. I want to say probably early this afternoon in England, in the morning for me. It's a situation with Jean-Michel Seri, and I actually saw this from DiMarzio, tweeted this out, that it was a done deal. And I got all excited, honestly. But as we both know, this is speculation at this point until a player shows up in a Fulham shirt or holding something that's Fulham-related. We know it's not a done deal yet, but this was encouraging this morning. I want to get your thoughts on all this speculation because this player is highly rated, and not only do I want to talk about the player, but I want to talk about the ambition from the club to target a player like this.
Yeah. As we know, we've been through this before with Roland. For all we know, he might be over here just to collect his Wimbledon tickets, and then he shoots off to go and sign for Bayern Munich.
Right.
You know, we've had this before. I mean, don't get me wrong. The speculation, the rumours of this player are quite good. You know, he's a top player. With us, we are punching above our weight there. But, you know, the owners are ambitious. I mean, you know, the bookies seem to have him odds on in coming. But like you say, the problem we got is, I think we've learned as Fulham fans now not to really kind of wet ourselves too much until we see the player holding the shirt.
That's right.
At Motspur Park, you know?
Absolutely, Scott. But before I go to John, this is something that John and I were talking about off air before we started the show. And want to get your thoughts on the ambition, because like you just said, the owners are ambitious. And I felt that way before the end of last season when I read some program notes from Shad Khan talking about, you know, I'm paraphrasing, if Fulham got back to the Premier League, that basically they wanted to compete. And targeting a player like this just shows me that Fulham are not looking at this just as survival. Like most fans are, first season back in the Premier League, you just want to survive. I don't think Shad Khan and Tony Khan are looking at it that way, Scott.
No, I don't think they should be. I mean, it's a norm to come up, you know, do just a little bit to survive, you know, and the expectation is maybe go down again, take your parachute payments and go again. You know, they are ambitious. And, you know, I think a club of Fulham stature now, sort of, you know, in London, competing with, you know, sort of other London clubs, we need to do something different. And I've always said that we can't come back like we did last time. The Premier League has changed quite a bit. We won't survive with the same model that we had before. You know, we've got to do something different. We've got to come back a much stronger club, not just on the pitch, but, you know, off it as well, Russ.
Right.
And I've always believed that. But on the other side of the coin, I've always said that, you know, it's all right targeting these type of players, but, you know, we've really got to come through. It's okay maybe sort of adding one or two of these players, but you've got to look at sort of strength and depth as well. And, you know, we've got to add quality all over the park to compete in this division. So, you know, with a month to go, it's certainly starting to high up a little bit.
Very good point there, Scott. And actually, one question that I have later on will kind of address that, and we can go back to that in a little bit, talking about depth and players coming in, how many players Fulham need, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. John, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on all this speculation and my thoughts on this, that, again, I feel this is positive that Fulham are targeting a player like this. Scott brings up a good point. However, we do need several players. I will say anywhere between 5 to 8 players. So you can target one or two players like this to bring in, but you also have to have other players that can do a job for you. So I understand where Scott's coming on it, but I do like the fact that they are targeting someone like this. And I think it shows, it sends a message to not just other players, other teams, other agents. Fulham are in it to win it, not to win the Premier League, but meaning that they want to compete. That's when I'm talking about win it. They want to compete. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. I mean, it shows a level of expectation from the Khans, which is above anything we've seen in a long, long time. Probably since the days of the Jean Tigenard team, which was a Premiership team that he put together in the Championship, and the success that brought was incredible, and it got us into the Premier League. We stayed there for 13 seasons, and we all know what's happened since then. But the fact that we're even discussing somebody of serious quality potentially wearing a Fulham shirt is incredible.
Exactly.
It's just, be like George Best when he came to us. Yes, he was way past his prime, but it was a big, big sign, a big, big thing to happen. And this could be as big. Scott's right. We need a lot more journeyman type players quality.
Yes.
But to have one or two real eye catchers in there will half help everyone. It will really lift the everyone's views on what Fulham is and where we intend to be.
Absolutely, John. And it's going to help with recruitment. If they could bring in a player like this, other players are going to want to come to play for Fulham, even if it's not at his level. Say it's a level, a couple levels below, that can do a job like Scott's talking about. If they know that this player is willing to come to Fulham, why not me? And that's why it becomes this trickle-down domino effect. That if, you know, again, even just being in the ballpark to talk about a player like this, I think can really do some really good dividends for Fulham. That's why I'm just happy, even with the speculation. I know that doesn't sound great because obviously I'd rather have the player, but I think it's about changing the mentality that some have. And there's, you know, again, there's a book on Fulham of who we are. And I think the Khans are trying to change that book. And that to me is what's really encouraging about this. And that's going to lead me to go back to you because again, this goes to what Scott's talking about bringing in other players. I'm going to read a tweet earlier today from Dean Jones from the Bleacher Report because we are talking about Surrey, but he also mentions a couple of other players. This is what he tweeted out earlier. Fulham confident that deals for Surrey, Mitrovic, and Augustinsson will all be over the line soon. Okay, that's the Swedish left back, and we all know about Mitro, and then, of course, you're talking about Surrey. Thoughts on this? Again, Augustinsson is not going to be at the level that we're talking about, but Surrey, but it might go to a player being able to do a job. And of course, we know what we're going to get with Mitrovic. Your thoughts about Fulham being linked to these other two players?
If you look at the squad we're trying to build, and with the existing players we've got also, with Tom Kearney and Ryan Sessegnon, we're building the spine of a team that will be very, very good. And for not just this next season or the season after, but for seasons to come. And it is a statement of intent. And I think this is the Khans really turning around and saying, well, we told you this is what we're going to do. We told you what this is what we wanted. Oh, and by the way, look, this is how we're going to achieve it. If individually, any of those three players, if they'd have signed, providing we got a few other good journeyman players, I think we'd all would turn around and say we've had a fantastic transfer window. If we get all three of them, that's incredible, really good.
Yeah, I totally agree. And but I think you would also agree that it can't just stop there. We still have to bring in other
Oh,
players. But
no. No, absolutely. But someone was on the forum that was saying about how well Cardiff are doing. They're bringing in all these different players. But
well,
if you
look who
look at
they're
the
targeting,
quality of
John.
players they're
Right.
bringing in compared
Exactly.
to who we're talking about,
Right.
it's chalk and cheese.
Absolutely. They're targeting championship players that they think that can step up. We are looking at players that are on a different level, and that just shows the ambition difference.
Absolutely. And it's almost as if they're preparing to go straight back down again.
That's what it feels like to me. Very good there, John. Scott, over to you. I want to get your thoughts on all this because I saw this speculation early today from Dean, and Dean is someone that I respect. So for him to say this, I do give it some weight. What are your thoughts about them targeting, along with Seri, Mitrovic, and also Augustinsson? What does it tell you?
Yeah, I mean, it shows our ambition, our levels of ambition there. But you're right. I mean, we can't just stop there.
No.
I'm sure we're going to talk about this later. I mean, we're going to need more additions in that side.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, I've just got this feeling that Southampton are not going to let Target go. I mean, even for 10 million, I don't think we're going to see him in a Fulham shirt. It'd be nice to, but I just don't. I think they rate him too highly to let him go, especially to, someone that's new in the Premiership. Mitrovic, I feel he's part of that team that come up, the togetherness. I think the connections between him, Djukanovic, and the rest of the players in that squad, I think it's important to have him in and around the squad. But also, and I feel another striker is going to be needed there as well.
Totally agree.
I'm hopeful. I mean, we're in a different situation now. We're not in the Championship targeting Roland. We are in the Premiership, and we can offer something a little bit different. I mean, I'm just reading here from the forum now. One of the members called Stevie Boy has just posted not so long ago on the transfer speculation thread. I mean, Sky Bet have us down at 1-10 for him to join. Borussia Dortmund 10-1. Chelsea 14-1, West Ham 28-1, Arsenal 33-1. So they know something, and he's put at the bottom, and you never see a poor bookie,
That's a good point. That's a very good point there, my friend. But again, are you encouraged by who Fulham are linked to? Because again, I think it's been tight getting information out of them this season, especially. We have to hear from, it usually seems like journalists from outside of England that we get some information on, like Sweden and then, of course, we're hearing this about France as well. It's difficult to get information, but when you get these names, and then to John's point, when you look at the players that Cardiff are bringing in, Scott, I think they're setting themselves up, like Jonathan, to potentially go right back down because they're not, I don't think they're targeting the right players. I think Fulham are.
Well, I think we've also got to be careful. We see Borough do it when they come up last time. They went out and got it was a goalkeeper they signed who played for Barcelona. Went on to, was it Manchester United as well?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember, but they made three or four big signings,
Right.
and they come straight back down. They never really
This is
sort of
true.
spread the love over the squad. I don't think Cardiff are doing anything wrong in regard to buying championship players. I mean, they might just be sort of, bulking out their squad now, and you might find that they will add a couple of other quality sort of players towards the end of the window when prices are getting better.
Okay.
At the end of the day, would I have liked our activity to be sort of a little bit more advanced? Yes. We've only got a month to go, and I know we're sitting here talking, and this is the negative side of me coming out now. I know we're sitting here talking about these acquisitions and everything else, but we've apart from kind of adding a signature to Tom Cairney and Tim Ream, we've not done a lot yet. We're still kind of in the same. Well, we're actually in a weaker position than we was when we sort of finished the championship because loan players have gone back. We we can't get hold of Target, and we still haven't brought Mitrovic back. So I'm still, and I'm sure with the rest of the fans, I'm still slightly nervous in regards to our current situation,
Right, Scott, and that's understandable based on everything that you said. Loan players go back. No one new has come in. We're going to talk about the re-signings of Ream and also Tom Kearney coming up. And I think they're significant, but like you mentioned, we still need, and I'll say it again, I think anywhere between 5 to 7 to 8 players. And nothing has come through the door yet, and we're hopeful that it will. But again, it's interesting what you just said, Scott, because you're looking at the Cardiff situation a little bit differently than I am. You're thinking that they're taking care of business, and eventually, maybe the very end when the prices go down, then they pounce on someone that can really help them, someone of more significance than they've signed so far. And that could be true. That's a very interesting way to look at it. And that also has me go back to think about, Scott, because you're talking about how we can't really just focus on 2 to 3 players. I'm going to give you an example of I think, your way of thinking here. Ross McCormack. We go down and we get Ross McCormack. What else did we actually bring in besides Ross McCormack? Again, some players that we thought could help us, but it really didn't work out. We basically put all of our eggs in the basket with Ross McCormack, and it just didn't work out. Is that kind of the wavelength where you're going on this when we're talking about someone like Seri?
I think that was slightly different, because we also put our faith in a basket case when we went down, and I think that was half the reason why we got rid of players like Stockdale, and you know, a few players there like Hanglin that probably still would have hung around at their age to do a job. You know, we had somebody that thought that they could win the championship by, you know, sort of putting, you know, 16, 17-year-old kids, and it just was never going to happen. But the point I was getting at is that whole kind of balance. I mean, we're new to the division. We're not obviously going to, you know, we're not going to kick off straight away. I mean, we need to find, I think, an even keel in regards to settling in that division, not just for next season, but the season beyond. And I think we need a good base to do that. The guy I was talking about at Borough, was Victor Valdez. They you know, they went out and bought players of that calibre. They bought about 4 or 5, and then they took a chance on a couple of others. But they never really sort of spread the love over the squad. I'd like to see us, you know, with these players that we're buying, also buy good squad players as well, because I think it's going to be needed. So that's what I'm hoping we'll do. But we've got a month to go. And as I see it, you know, we're no further down the line. I've got faith. I've got, you know, I've got trust in what they're going to do. But I just, you know, I want to see some players in.
I'm with you, Scott. Totally with you. I understand everyone getting nervous about it. I'm nervous too. And I just have a feeling that they will get the players that they need. But only time will tell. And like you said, there's only a month to go. So the pressure is starting to build. All right, Scott, I'm going to go right back to you. Let's now talk about Savisa, because there's been speculation lately of a new deal for him. And actually, Dean Jones tweeted this out earlier today on the Bleacher Report. This is his tweet. The contract talks with Jokanović progressing well, too, so expect him to extend his stay at Fulham. This is obviously good news, but we need to actually see a deal done with Savisa. But I'm going to ask you this. I want to get your thoughts on the speculation with a new deal for Savisa. But I actually think this might even be more important than the signings of Kearney and Ream. I think this is very important to get a new deal done with him, because I think it affects everything that they do. What are your thoughts about where I'm coming with Jokanović? I think they need to get a deal done with him. Obviously, you want to bring in all the players, but I think it's imperative that they get a new deal done with Savisa as soon as possible.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, new heights, new contracts, new challenge. But also what comes with that as well, Russ, as we know, are new risks. He'd unproven at that level. We don't know yet, you know, whether he's going to do a job up there or whether he will fail. I've got, again, belief in what he can do as a coach, and I'm hoping that he goes on to bring better things to the club. As it stands, I still believe that he's got a year left on his current contract. That doesn't end till the end of the summer 2019. So I think the club are still a little bit flexible in regards to contract terms with him and what they can offer. The only thing that I think they might be concerned about is obviously that they will need to tie him down in case he starts off well and then someone comes in and pinches him. But yeah, from what he done last season, I would love to see him have a new deal, and I'm hoping it comes along pretty soon.
Okay, so you would be careful of what type of deal you would offer him to see if he can prove himself first in the Premier League, like a long-term deal. You would maybe give him a shorter-term deal, Scott?
I think so. I think, I'm not saying it's not short. I mean, maybe a couple of years extension, maybe pushing it to 3 or something like that. As I say, we don't know to this day, you know, what he's going to achieve in the Premiership. I'm hoping he's going to achieve a lot. But, you know, it could be the case come Christmas that we're bottom. You know, and you've got to unfortunately get rid of him. It's going to cost you a bucket load of money. I'm just saying that the club still kind of has an option there. I think they've still got that extra year yet, taken into the summer of 19, to be a little bit flexible there. But you know, he deserves it, and I'm pretty sure they're sitting down trying to thrash something out. Bigger job, you know, bigger requirements, and he's naturally going to want more money.
Absolutely. And who could blame him for wanting more money and a longer-term deal? John, I want to get your thoughts on all this, and also what Scott and I were just talking about, the length of a potential deal for Savisa. I understand where Scott's coming on this. Would you wait a little bit, maybe give him a shorter-term deal, or would you just come all out and give him a long-term deal to make Savisa more happy? If you were Shad Khan and Tony Khan, what type of deal would you put to Savisa to get this done? And also, do you see this as important as I do?
Yes, I think it is important. I think we need a level of stability within the club that we haven't had for a while. And last season, I think that Slavisa proved himself to be the right sort of manager for Fulham. And regardless of what division we're in, if we're in the Premiership, if we're in the Championship, if we're in League One or League Two, he's the right type of manager for Fulham. He plays the type of football we want to see. It's not really negative, boring, and it's not hoofball. It's just a joy to watch, and it's brought its own rewards. You can say, well, we should have got automatic promotion, and if we'd have started off better last season, then we would have got it. And I'd have to agree with that. But having said that, I really, really, really enjoyed my day out at Wembley and wouldn't give that up for anything in the world.
I enjoyed that very much, John. Go ahead.
I must just publicly thank Scott for that, because he enabled me to get there.
Oh, that's so great.
But a 3-year contract is the minimum I'd give him.
Okay.
I think anything less than that, he'd probably look at that and say, well, come on, lads, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to prove myself? It's obvious what he has to do is that he has to keep us there, and we have to become successful within the Premiership.
Sure.
Now, what success means to you and me is probably slightly different to what it means to Tony and Shahid Khan and to Slavisa himself. So that's all very subjective, but I think that having him as our manager playing the style of football that he wants us to play will help us keep our current players and attract really good new ones.
Right.
I just think that he's the right man for the Fulham job at this moment in time. 5 years' time, that might be different. 3 years' time, that might be different. But I don't think it's going to be different at the end of next season, regardless of what happens.
Right, and you bring up a good point, because tying him down right now, I think, is extremely important, because, as you said, maybe in 5 years' time, or even as small as, say, 2 to 3 years' time, things might change. But in the meantime, when you're trying to build something, you're building what we would say over here, a program, you're building something.
Yeah.
He needs to be in place, and he needs to be secure, so then he can do his job. But what it will also do, and Scott, I want to get your thoughts on this, because I think Slavisa, not just with Mitrovic, helps with recruitment for better players. Because if they know that Slavisa is going to be under contract for, say, 3 to 5 years, that is something that might help decide. You know, it could be a decision maker for a potential player that wants to come to Fulham, because they know the style of play that Slavisa plays. Obviously, we know that a manager can get sacked at any time. But when you're looking at it on the face of it right now, that he's here and he's got a new contract, that might entice you to come to play for someone like that based on everything that Slavisa offers. So I want to get your thoughts on that angle, part of this.
Yeah, but I mean, I've always said there's a reason why Kearney has signed a new long-term deal.
Right.
He wouldn't have just done it for the sake of it. I mean, obviously, there's Premiership wages there. You'll probably find that he has doubled his salary now that we're in the Premiership. But that level of commitment kind of tells you that something is boiling behind the scenes, that there's going to be a kind of a chain effect of, people sort of committing to Fulham Football Club, be it the coach, be it, certain signings that they may have heard about, or maybe ideas and plans of where the Khans are going. But maybe they've heard that they're going to invest, £100 million this summer. But that alone kind of tells me that there's something there. I mean, you're right. I mean, if Savica signs a long-term deal, or at least he's contracted longer to the club, then it's going to give players a better incentive to join. They might want to be part of his plans, part of what he brings, and part of his style. So yeah, you are right, Russ.
Okay, excellent. And I'm glad that you brought us into talking about Tom Kearney while we were going through talking about Savica, because I think this is significant as well, talking about recruitment and intent. Because I look at Kearney signing the new deal, like you just said, Scott, I think that sends a clear message that, hey, we're serious. We're going to pay our best players, going to give them new deals. They did well, and we're going to reward them. And I think that's also another part of this with Kearney, and we'll also talk about Tim Ream. They were rewarded for the job that they did, and I think that's important. That sends a message, I think. So, John, I want to go back to you, and I want to talk a little bit about Kearney, because I look at this. This is another sign for me of intent for Fulham, because when I look at the players that we're targeting right now, I think it was very important to sign Kearney as soon as possible to set his wages at a certain level, because he's your best player. You needed to put his wages at a place, because then now you can slot everyone else at a certain wage level as well. But I think it was important to get him done quickly, and now we can concentrate on other players, because this whole goes back to the whole speculation with Ryan Fredericks, that he was looking for, again, the speculation, looking for silly money. And Tom Kearney, in my opinion, needed to be your highest paid player. Now, that might not be the case. I don't know what they offered him, but I have a feeling he has to be up there. And I think it was important to get it done with him. Now you can concentrate on some of these other players, new players you want to bring in. What are your thoughts about these significance of re-signing Tom Kearney?
It's another one of those must do soonest signings. I think it was brilliant news, and the fact that we've signed him on a 5 year, was he 27, 28 now?
Correct.
So he'll be in his early 30s. He'll still be at Fulham, which for a midfielder isn't a bad thing. It'd be nice if he was a couple of years younger so we could keep him there longer. But I think it's fantastic news, and he's very important to the way the team ticks. We saw that at the start of the season when he was out injured and when he was struggling to get back up to speed when he came back in. No, that's great. Really, really good news.
It's great news. I was very happy to see it. And Scott, I want to go back to you. And I'm going to give a little stick to some people that are supporters of West Ham, because my first thought was this was an FU to the people that support West Ham for all that crap that happened last season. I enjoyed this even more, Scott, because they might have been interested. And again, Kearney now is under a new 5 year deal. So this is very sweet to me. Your thoughts about the speculation that went back to last season?
Yeah, I mean, if we start back from last season, I think the situation you have to look at from a footballer's perspective is that, we're sort of teetering on the edge of, or come January, we're sort of teetering on the edge of playoffs. Were we going to get in there? Were we not? So players naturally of Kearney's caliber, and even Fredericks, I think, are looking for a safety net. They're looking for an opportunity where if we don't make it, they naturally want to play at a higher level. And you can't blame players in this day and age, because there is no loyalty in football, and it is all about career and it's about money. It's very rare these days that you get a player that commits to a club for the entirety of their footballing career, Russ. So we're always going to get that kind of situation. A player is always going to look to better himself along his career. We're Fulham Football Club, and we're going to get it again in the Premiership, where if they feel that they want to move on to the next level and play European Championship football, we're going to end up being a stepping stone. That's just
Sure.
how it is. The way that I see the Kearney and Fredrick situation is a lot different. If you look at the two types of player, they're completely different. For me, Fredericks has the raw pace. He's good with speed, but we all know that his end product is not very good. And I feel at a higher level, his defensive qualities could be a little bit skeptical as well.
Sure.
For him to turn down an opportunity to go somewhere that's going to pay him 50 grand a week, you're going to play at a decent stadium under a decent coach. You're going to take that. You're going to go. And whether Fredericks makes it or not, he's going to give it a good go. With Kearney, I feel it's different. I think with his type of play under Djukanovic's type of style, when we went up, Kearney, I feel, was always going to commit to the club because he's always going to do well as a player in that situation. Whether having poor games, tough games, I think he's always a player that's going to shine. So for him, I think it was a completely different situation.
Interesting.
So that's kind of how I've seen it too, Russ. I believe Kearney was always going to stay if we went up, but I always said that even if we went up, Frederick was going to go.
I think you analyzed that really good there, Scott, because again, players want to do what's best for players, like you said, financially and also for their career. And if Kearney had a chance to play in the Premier League and Fulham did not get up, that was probably what was going to happen in the very in the end, but obviously it did not work out that way. It worked out to our benefit because Fulham did get promoted and he stays with Fulham. And another part of this, and I'm glad that you talked about this, the difference between the two players. I actually think Fredericks also thrived in Savic's system, and he probably will do okay in Pellegrini's system. He probably will, but with Kearney, Scott, I think it's a perfect fit to stay here because I think he just thrives under Savica. So I kind of understand how this all played out, and that once we made promotion, he was going to stay, and you end up being 100% right on that and sign a new deal. That makes sense. And they are different. It's funny because I thought they were the same, Scott. You basically, because I could not understand why Fredericks moved on. But as I'm thinking about it more and more, I think it was, fait accompli. I hate to say it that way. That he was going to go, especially if we did not get promoted. We did get promoted. I thought he would stay, but I think things were in the works way before Wembley, and I think he had his mind made up. And
Oh, without a doubt, Russ. And we all know that the club were not going to make him the highest paid player. The highest paid
no,
player at this moment in
nor
time
should
is
they,
probably
nor should they, Scott.
no is you know is probably Kearney now, who's on 50. He's probably on 50 grand a week, maybe a little bit more. I don't know. But Fulham are not going to play Fredericks 50 grand a week. I know it's an average salary in the Premiership now, but you don't go guns blazing. You don't go giving out stupid salaries to players. And I just feel that, the club weren't prepared to pay him 50 grand a week. So that tells you that they feel that in that type of position, they could maybe replace or do better for the money. And from Frederick's situation, he knows that he can go somewhere that well before January has told him, you can come to us, a nice fat signing on fee, 50 grand a week. And he's already gone. He was gone months ago, and
That's
that's the
what I thought.
situation with me.
Yeah. And that's the unfortunate part is that I think in his mind, I shouldn't say I thought if we got promoted that he would stay, but I think in his mind he was already gone. That's where I'm going on that. All right. Right back to you, Scott. Let's talk about Tim Ream. Here's a player that has grown leaps and bounds over his time at Fulham, and I remember his early days at Fulham, and he got a good amount of stick. He wasn't living up to the player that I think Fulham supporters thought he would be. But boy, what a turnaround for Tim Ream, and he gets rewarded with a new deal. I want to get your thoughts about his new contract and also the transformation of Tim Ream with Fulham.
Yeah, no, I'm pleased that he's got a new contract. He was a standout player last season, very composed on the ball. Doesn't have bags full of pace, but he made defending at time look very effortlessly. Effortlessly, is that the right word? Effortless by just taking a yard or two, moving a ball away from a striker. And he fitted our system really well. Is it going to be a different story in the Premiership? Of course it is. Tougher, faster forwards. we don't know whether Tim is going to fit into or survive in that arena. We don't know if that's his level. However, I'm pleased that the club are, they're rewarding these players that have helped us get up with new contracts. Whether they fit in the side or not, they've been given what they deserve at the end of the day. And that's mainly what I'm pleased for.
Okay, excellent. John, over to you. Your thoughts about the new contract for Tim Ream?
Yeah, I think it is good news. He has blossomed into a really good centre back, which is when he first signed, I was underwhelmed. I think it's fair to say, but his improvement has been incredible. And it's the other really good thing is that he's keeping a good run of American players who've played for Fulham over the years, and done really well for us and for themselves. And I think that's a nice habit to have. If he was Brazilian or Welsh, it wouldn't make an awful lot of difference, but it is a nice continuity there. And hopefully in the Premiership, it will bring us a lot more American fans. The fact that there is somebody who they could, Americans can readily identify with, and having American owners, I think that's going to be coming in quite important. It's just from a marketing side. I think that that's going to, raise a few pennies into the coffers for all sorts of things with various marketing that will be going on stateside. So I think it's a really good sign. Plus the fact is he is a pretty, half decent centre back. So.
Okay, excellent. John, right back to you. There's been speculation that Ryan Sessegnon could be signing a new deal with Fulham, and then I've also seen other speculation that some other Fulham players the team could be talking to as well. What is the significance of Fulham potentially signing their own players to new deals? I'm all for it. Again, this goes back to rewarding the players for a job well done, and getting your best players locked up for a longer period of time. Your thoughts about Sessegnon and some of these other players that I believe that they're talking to?
Well, Sessegnon, and he's just recently signed a 3-year deal, didn't he? When he
Last
turned
season.
18. So the fact that we're going to reward him with better wages and better terms, whatever, for being a Premiership player, it is really good. I don't think there's any danger of him leaving Fulham anytime soon. I think he's really at home with us. If one of the really big boys comes along, a Barcelona or Real Madrid or whatever, then I think that might be different. But I don't think he sees Tottenham as a really big boy. And certainly he knows that he's going to get game time with us. He knows that we're going to be playing a type of football that suits him and will get him noticed and hopefully get him into the England team and hopefully progress his career in ways that he can only dream of at the moment. Which I think if he went to somewhere like Spurs, he'd go there and he'd sit on the bench for 99 games out of 100.
Yeah,
He'd be used in cup games and he'd be wasted away.
totally agree. And that's why, for me, people have asked me where do I think he should go if it's not going to be with Fulham. And I've said Liverpool just because from a style fit, I think he would fit in there. Not that I want him to go to Liverpool, obviously
No,
I
no
don't.
point.
But I looked at Klopp and I said, okay, he could fit there. But when I talk to my friends that support Liverpool, they see him as someone that not going to be a regular starter. And I'm thinking, no, he needs to play regular football to progress in his career. And that's why it's got to be a situation that he's going to play regularly. And right now, the best situation for him is at Fulham. But, again, the big boys are going to come knocking, and we're going to have to see how this all plays out. That's why I do think getting a new deal done with him is important. And, Scott, I want to get your thoughts on this because we've talked a great deal about Sessegnon. John brings up a good point. He just signed a deal. But I like the fact that potentially they're going to be rewarding Sessegnon and making it even more difficult for a team to basically take him away or make it more expensive if it got to that point. Talk about Sessegnon, and also, what is your thoughts on this? How do you feel about this? How do you think it's going to play out? Are you confident that we will see Ryan Sessegnon in a Fulham shirt this season?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident we will do. I mean, we don't know whether they're... I mean, John was saying that he signed a professional contract when he turned... What was it, 17?
18.
And I think it was already written in a sort of a junior or pre-contract that he had before.
Right.
I mean, we don't know whether the club has slipped something in there again, that if, you know, we got promoted on the basis of his contract, it extends by such and such and you are entitled to so much money. It wouldn't put it past me if they've done something like that. But I mean, regardless of however you look at it, I think he's going to be, you know, an integral part of next season. You know, whether he gets in the side full time or, you know, whether he's a bit part player for us, but he will play more in the Premiership than he will do by moving to Tottenham, Manchester United, Liverpool.
Right.
And I just don't feel that he's that type of player. I don't feel he's a Roberts. I don't feel he's a Dembele. I do feel that he, you know, he's homegrown, and I do feel that we'll see him for a few seasons more now, until obviously the club have to sell him to raise funds or invest it back into the squad.
See, that's the way I look at it, Scott. He's a Fulham player. He's been at Fulham since 8. And that just tells me, again, that he's grown up at Fulham and he's comfortable at Fulham. But you bring up a good point when we're talking about eventually they might need to raise funds and he might be forced to be sold. That might happen, but hopefully that will take a few seasons before we get to that point, because the amount of money that you could get for Sessegnon is just going to increase and increase, I believe. So his value isn't probably even at its peak at this point, especially if he plays well in the Premier League. And I expect to see him in a Fulham shirt. I don't have any reservations that that's going to happen, but you know, anything can happen when it comes to football. We'll see, but I feel confident, like you, Scott, that we'll see him this season in a Fulham shirt. All right, guys.
I mean, he's 18, Russ.
Yes.
You know, I mean, he's got his whole career ahead of him. He's
he
got
does.
Another 10, 11, 12, 13 years in the game. You know, he knows that he doesn't have to play at his peak now. We've seen it happen with Roberts. We've seen players like Dembele move on. It's kind of not really going the way that he wanted.
Look at Emerson
either.
Hyman. I hate to bring
Emerson,
him up.
Yeah, Emerson Hyman. I just feel that he's a proper grown, homegrown player, and I think he knows where his roots are, and I think he knows that he will progress his career more by staying at the club until he's at least 23, 24, and he'll probably leave in his prime, but I think we'll see another few seasons out of him at Fulham.
I hope you're right there, Scott. All right, one final topic before I give you guys some topics from the Fulham supporters, and this actually has some news that broke today. We are recording this on Tuesday, and we received word on the Fulham, official Fulham Twitter account, that Stuart Gray was leaving the club. And last week we had Scott Parker coming back to the club to be a coach. And I'm actually looking at this, Scott. Maybe I'm wrong, but I look at it as both being linked. Because when I saw that Scott Parker was coming back to be a coach, my first thought was, uh-oh, that might mean Stuart Gray is leaving. And that turns out to be the case. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but I see these two guys as being linked. You know, again, I wish Stuart Gray the best. I think he did a nice job with Fulham, especially helping us with our defensive issues. And, you know, I hope everything turns out well for him. But I want to get your thoughts on both of these guys. First on Stuart Gray leaving Fulham, and then, of course, Scott Parker returning to Fulham.
Is that me, Russ?
Yes. Yes, to you, Scott.
Sorry, mate. I was just a little bit distracted. I've just... Just on Twitter now, the club have actually pushed something out in regards to Scott Parker discussing his transition from teammate to coach and the challenge that awaits him in the Premier League. So they released a video interview 11 minutes ago. So that's just come out. So maybe that will maybe give us a bit more in depth in regards to what this is. I mean, for me, like you say, Russ, it's one in, one out. Was Gray already on his way? I think so. I think I've already expressed that when Gray came into the club, I feel that he wasn't really part of the setup with Djokanovic. I think or Djokanovic, sorry. I feel he was there before he come. Maybe hasn't settled into, the coaching staff as much as he wanted to, and maybe there's a future elsewhere for him, and the club have had to go out and find a replacement, and they've done that in Scott Parker. We all know Scott Parker kind of left under, not a cloud, but kind of a difficult time at the club. Things have improved, and he's always stated that, Fulham Football Club was a good venture for him, and he enjoyed working with the staff and everyone else, and he's probably back doing now what he's good at. And I think if you look at the two caliber of people as a head coach, you look at Stuart Gray, and then you look at Scott Parker with how he got on well with the younger players, or just as a general person around the club. Maybe we've improved in that area. Maybe also it's an upgrade,
Interesting. Interesting way to look at that, Scott. John, I want to get your thoughts on Stuart Gray leaving and Scott Parker coming back to be a coach. I see them as linked. Maybe they're not. That's just the way I'm looking at it. Like Scott said, one in, one out. That's the way I'm looking at it. And Scott brings up a good point. Could this potentially be an upgrade because Scott Parker is younger, can relate to the players? Even though I like Stuart Gray, could this potentially be an upgrade as a coach?
Well, I guess the thing is that Scott's got to prove himself as a coach, whereas Stuart had. So it might be a bit of a gamble. It might be one of those things that actually it is just a no-brainer as far as Djokanovic and the rest of the coaching staff. They just see him as a natural fit for reasons that we don't know, because we don't see what goes on the training ground, or the planning meetings, or the this is what we're trying to achieve, guys. How are we going to go about this type meetings? I'm yet to really understand what Stuart Gray's role really was, and what Scott Parker's role is going to be. My main concern was that Scott Parker was coming in as an heir apparent to Djokanovic, and
Oh.
that wouldn't make me a happy bunny at all. But I'm on the fence on this one. I do think it is one in, one out. Whether it's an upgrade, whether it's a downgrade, or whether it's just the status quo, I don't know. And I guess we'll find out. But it is interesting. I mean, if it had been Danny Murphy coming back in rather than Scott Parker, I'd have been a very, very happy bunny.
Oh, he's my favorite player of all time, by the way.
Well, it's just I don't understand Scott Parker's qualities as on the coaching side. I know how good he was as a player, but he just reminds me far too much of Ray Wilkins, I'm afraid.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very interesting. Scott, I want to go back to you. I want to get your thoughts on what John just shared about Scott Parker. And I'm glad that you mentioned this, and I certainly will be watching the video that the club put on its official Twitter account. We're doing the show. Unfortunately, I can't watch it, but I definitely will, and I'll have to see what Scott Parker has to share. But what are your thoughts on what John just said about his thoughts on Scott Parker?
Yeah, when it comes to Scott Parker, I think John's right, from a certain extent, where he's not a proven coach. I mean, he's gone off to Tottenham. He jumped ship. He joined Tottenham to do some work at their academy. I think he also went and done his badges there, his coaching badges. And then obviously he's now come back, now that we've got Premiership football. So you can look at this two or three ways. And John is quite right that, Stuart Gray come in at a time where there was a bit of turmoil in the club. He had to take control of the first team. And then he's obviously remained, when Djokanovic come in. He's had to fit into that system, and we know it's a completely different system that he's had working with Sheffield Wednesday to what Slavisa's got. But you've got to look at Gray and say that he was highly recommended by a lot of people in regards to coaching, especially his defensive qualities and stuff like that. And we all know that we struggled defensively under Djukanovic for a long periods of time, and then that improved. So was that down to Gray? Was that down to persistent coaching from him to kind of shore us up? And John is right. I mean, Scott Parker's come in. It's a new challenge. It's a completely different league. And we are going to have to defend for our lives in this division. We just don't know. This could be a stroke of genius, but this could also come back and really bite us on the foot,
It's funny. You kind of nailed how I feel about this, Scott, because again, I'm not there at training. I don't know the influence that Stuart Gray had. I do know how well thought of he is, like you said, around the football community, and he's known for his defensive prowess. So we could see the changes, and I was giving him credit. I really don't know. I have to think though that he must have had some kind of influence, because that is his background, because we did improve. So that's one of the things that I was thinking about. This was a concern defensively without Stuart Gray, but we'll have to see. And I'll give Scott Parker every chance as a coach. But we just don't know. We don't know what he's going to bring. It could be excellent, or it could be the exact opposite. We just don't know at this point, but I certainly am willing to give him a chance. And the club brought him in for a reason, and we'll see if Scott Parker works out as a coach.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
I mean, another thing. I mean, I'm sorry,
Ryan,
just before we go on. I mean, another way to look at it is that, when we're up here and we're trying to entice players and we're looking at maybe sort of, you look at it and think Stuart Gray or Scott Parker, who's going to have the more pull? And it's definitely going to pull more with Parker.
Scott Parker, absolutely.
We could be looking at it like that, but we just don't know. Again, it's unproven territory for us, and it's unproven territory for him. And we're unfortunately only going to find out once we get into it. So
that's right. But that's actually a very good angle to look at it. His reputation and what that might bring, his pull. Because if you're a player and that he's on the coach staff, maybe again that could have a little bit of influence. So that's a very interesting way to look at that, Scott. All right, quickly, let's end with just a few questions here from the Fulham supporters. I'm going to start with James Doughton. He actually tweeted this to the Cottage Talk Twitter page, and Scott, I'll go right to you, and then John, I'll go to you, because I think both of you will like this question. We'll do this quickly. Scott, how many players will we need in this transfer window? And what is the top three wish list for you?
How many is a figure? I mean, it's more than three and four, but it's slightly less than 11. I don't think we need to be changing everything,
sure.
But we also don't need to be bringing in the bare minimum. I mean, for me, you've got to be looking at eight first team players.
That's what I'm looking
door.
At. Somewhere
I mean, you've got to look at certain positions that we need to strengthen in. I mean, there's positions that I feel that we do need to strengthen in, which I don't feel the club are. But we're all going to have different opinions in regards to what we do. But
sure.
I personally feel that there's around about eight players minimum of first team quality players that we need to bring in. And then around that, we're still going to need to bring in, I reckon, another three, four individual players to maybe beef out the squad, that are squad players.
Okay.
But that's where I feel we need to be with it, really.
Okay. And I'm there with you. I think I've already said it a few times, like five to seven to eight. But you could be right, maybe even more. Like you said, first team players around there, and then some other squad players to go along with that. I see where you're going on that, Scott. Anyone on your wish list? James asked for three players on your wish list.
I think Mitrovic is a must. I think he must come back purely because of being part of that integral side that come up. I don't think he's going to be he's not going to be our 15 goal a season striker. You're not going to get that from him at that level. He may get you 8 to 10 goals a season, but what you will get from him is a hold up tight play, someone that's going to rough defenders up while you can play maybe a bit more of a technical forward. I'm looking at him, another big name forward, I would like another centre half and a good box to box midfielder is my wish list. If there's any more coming through the door, then I'll be happy. But then I've also said that I feel that we need to be upgrading in the goalkeeper department.
Right.
I look at clubs that have come up and they've all kind of signed, a proven quality goalkeeper. But from the rumours that have been going around, obviously with Tim Krul coming in, it seems to me that Bettinelli is probably going to stay, with Krul maybe coming in to push him for the number one position.
Okay, excellent there. All right, John, over to you. Your thoughts
Yeah,
on this.
that I'd agree with everything Scott said there. I think Mitro is going to be a big signing for us fans anyway. We've seen him last season. I don't expect him to do anywhere near as well as he did for us the latter half, or yeah, the half the season he's with us next season. But when he does finally get round to putting pen to paper, I'll be really, really pleased. And I'd love to see him get his hat trick against Newcastle. But yeah, and it is the I think we've got something like 15 or 16 first team players at the moment.
Right.
That's without counting the youth team who can step up. So we're going to need a minimum squad of 24. So there's eight players straight away that we're going to need, plus one or two others that just to beef up the squad. Because by the time you've got international duties and you've got injuries and suspensions and playing two games close together, et cetera, our squad is too thin. And we need the quality and we need the right type of players. As to who those individuals are, well, 2 days ago, Siri wouldn't even been on my radar. But he is now. So if we get somebody like that, Mitro, I have a sneaking suspicion that we're going to get Caballero from Wolves.
I would like to see that happen.
I think we're going to get him. I really do. And there's was it a let's get the guy from AC Milan. There's the German player at fullback as well that we're talking about. So there's some interesting names going around. But yeah, we need a minimum of eight players, I think.
Okay, excellent. All right, guys, I have one final topic for you, and then we'll wrap up this show. This is from Eric Hadrick on the Cottage Talk Facebook page. And thank you, everyone, for your questions. We're just running short of time. So this is the final question, and I'll give it to both of you. John, I'll start with you. Here's his question. Do you think making new signings so late in the window could cause some disruption in the team for the start of the season? A bit like what happened the first few months of the 2017-2018 season. First to you, John.
Yes, of course it could, but I think far more important than any new player signing for 17-18 season was the fact that Tom Cairney wasn't there. So it was that by having new players come in, they can either create a spark that makes another guy say, "Well, hey, he's in my position, so I've got to play better just to keep my place," or it's going to be, "Well, this guy's just walked straight in, so what the hell's going on?" But I think everyone's going to have to earn their place. It doesn't matter who they are, how big a name they are, that they're going to have to fit into the system. And Djukanovic's system is a little different to everyone else's. So signing people on deadline day is not a good idea.
Okay, excellent. Scott, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, signing people late in the window is never very good, but I mean, this is where, if our supposed stats team is doing their job properly, I think we, rather than just going out and signing people this time around, we need to be signing strategic players that are going to fit into that system quickly. Whether this Siri, deal comes off or not, we'll wait and see. But when I was looking at it, all the statistics today, you had Kearney, who I think last two seasons was a top passer of the ball in the championship with something like 3,000 passes in the first season, then suppressed that the following season. And the same was with Siri in the French division, but a higher level, So they're already looking at players, I think, statistically, that can fit into Savisa's type of system. It has to be so right. This league is so unforgiving. The championship, you'll get away with half a season before you can kind of, get into your rhythm and actually do something. As we all know, in the Premiership, you give it half a season, you're relegated. It's as simple as that. So there has to be, I don't think we need to go out signing tons of players that don't fit a system, and we don't need to be doing it sort of right near the end of the window, but we need to be doing it strategically well. We've got players that can come in, and fit into that system straight away.
Okay, excellent. Guys, fantastic show. I've really enjoyed this. John, thank you so much for joining me again. I said this the last time. I hope you can do this again sometime soon.
I would love to. It has been a real pleasure, and having to actually talk about what we think is going on, and get different points of view is always interesting. And I'm sure that an awful lot of people won't agree with anything we've said, and you'll get others that do. But
Sure.
that's the whole beauty of it, isn't it?
That's right.
It's all about opinions. And no, it's been really good. Really enjoyed myself, Russ. Thank you very much.
Well, like I mentioned, I do hope you come back soon, my friend. You were
Love
excellent,
to.
and I enjoy doing the show with you and Scott. Scott, my friend, we've been doing this a long time. Always enjoy doing it. Don't be a stranger. I know I say that to you every time.
No, I won't, Russ. Just before I go, if I could just touch on something, just to let the viewers know. So on the forum, as we know, naturally with promotion, we've become, activity's become a lot bigger now. We seem to have a few more people creeping back, especially sort of overseas fans, etc.
Right.
So you'll notice that the activity on there is getting a little bit more busier. So, I mean, obviously with that, you get more kind of debates, you get more topics ongoing. So just to sort of say to people, pop in, register if you haven't. I mean, we've added a couple of bits back. I mean, we've started the overseas forum again for any of those guys from the States or whatever that want to jump back on. And have a chat in the early hours, as we call it. We've updated, or John's updated the actual the fans forum sticky. So we've got links to all of the fans forums across the Premiership now. Arsenal, Manchester United. So every sort of week, you can go and visit that. So we've done a little bit of revamping, and one of the things that they should check out as well, I don't know if you've seen it, Russ, is that brilliant background that John done of the white wall that sits now at the back of
Yes.
the forum.
Yes.
John's done a really good job with that. It really does look the business. So I'd encourage people to go and have a look.
Absolutely. You guys do a wonderful job at Friends of Fulham. I was telling John before we started, Scott, that every morning this is what I do. I go to Friends of Fulham. I wake up very early here in the States. And really, the first place I go, that's where I go. That's where I go and get my information before I go to Twitter, before I go to Facebook. I go to Friends of Fulham. And right now I'm, and again, I'm not, you know me, Scott, I'm not crazy about the silly season, but I have to keep up to date with what's going on. And that's the
Well,
thread I go to.
for the thing is, and this is the funniest thing. So, if you go on to the silly season thread at the moment, right? I mean,
Yeah.
it's how ridiculous it becomes.
Yeah.
We have, if let's have a look, we have 75. I'm just having a quick look. We have 75 pages of absolute rubbish before we've had any kind of before we signed any player. There's about 25,000 page views. There's about 17,000 arguments. It's
Oh, it's
unbelievable.
wonderful though, Scott. It really
But
is. It's wonderful though.
it goes on every year, and then
Yeah.
people turn around and say, "Can we just post, can we just post rumors in here?" And then someone goes on a tandem, and then you get like a 10-page thing about
Oh, it's great though.
someone's
I love
nan.
it though. I love it, man. I truly love it. I love going on Friends of Fulham and seeing the back and forth. It's fun, you know. And again, I understand why so many people like the transfer window. But for me, what drives me crazy is stuff like the whole Sarri situation because of the unknown, you know, all the rumors. It makes me a little bit nuts, but I see the fun in it as well. So it really is both sides of the coin. There's the good side of the silly season, and then there's the side that makes you nuts. And I guess I just need to concentrate more on the side that's fun, because there is a fun part of it too. All right.
Yeah.
Great show, guys. Fantastic show. But let's wrap this up. For Scott Tanfield and John Cummins from Friends of Fulham, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.